We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
Journey is your artist of the day, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on, come on, come on, here we go.
A singer in a smoky room.
Smell of wine and cheap perfume.
All right, later this hour, we will get, we'll do this after 5:30. Dana, who has done story after story after story on food deserts in Kansas City, is going to explain this one to me.
Don't you gloat about this. We will talk about it at 5:30.
I'm not gloating.
So I want everyone listening this half hour to think about how many homes you have lived in as a real adult. I don't mean when you were 18 and just starting out on your own. How many homes have you lived in?
Like where you thought, this is where I'm going to stay.
Where you thought, this is my first home. Like when you got married, when you had your first job. How many homes from that point forward do most people live in? So cut out the apartments and the moving around in college and beyond and all that stuff, okay? Because this is a super interesting story to me about our veterans today, and I don't know how everyone's going to feel about it, okay?
Okay.
It's from the Kansas City Star, but it is a national story. It says, as amputee veterans age and move, will the government cover their special housing needs? Retired Fort Riley Army Captain Ryan Kuehls was just 24 years old when a roadside bomb in Iraq took his right arm to the shoulder and entire left leg in 2005.
May God bless him.
He was at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. 18 months later, he used a $64,000 Department of Veterans Affairs grant to fix his house up. Because as you know, Scott, if you have any type of special need and you have to retrofit your house, that's expensive to make it accessible for all types of disabilities, okay? So it's called the Specially Adaptive Housing Grant. It is provided by the VA, which I didn't even know. And here's something else I didn't know. The grant only will cover the cost of modifying one home. Mm. Now think about it. How many Americans buy their first house at age 25, 30, and then stay in that house their entire life?
Most don't. Some do.
Most do not.
Some do.
Because think about it, Scott. You're young. You get married. You have a little starter house.
Sure.
Then you have a few children.
Now we need a little bit more room. Yeah, sure.
Most people move. And I actually looked up the number. It was hard for me to believe. The number is 11 times, which seems super high to me. But anyway, the cost to widen hallways, to modify showers and toilets, and add entry ramps was $90,000 the second time the soldier moved, and that modification came out of the family's pocket because, again, the rule only covers one move. Okay. Kuehls is now a veterans advocate with the Wounded Warrior Project and is a champion of changing this rule so that veterans would be able to apply for grants to retrofit and modify more than one home. And today, Kansas Republican Senator Jerry Moran and Democratic Arizona Senator Kristen Sinema introduced legislation that would expand the adaptive housing grants. The new legislation, if passed, would follow grievously wounded veterans through all of their homes during their lifetime.
Hmm. Now, the argument could be made, they did what you're not willing to do.
Yep.
They did what I'm not willing to do. They sacrificed and, let's be honest here, left a part of themselves somewhere else.
Yes.
And the argument could be made, and I could argue this point, they are now our responsibility.
Under the proposal, a qualifying veteran would be able to reapply for the grant every 10 years for up to 6 grants. That gave me pause, and here's why. 6 grants means you're moving 6 times. And I don't think most people do that, but maybe that's because we live in the middle and we like Kansas City and we stay here.
Well, now keep in mind, I've moved just from the age of 25, okay? We started in Olathe, bought the house in Shawnee. I got divorced, moved into an apartment in Shawnee. Bought the house in Roland Park. Made a disastrous decision and got a house in Shawnee 3 years ago. Moved out of that house very quickly and moved back into my house in Roman Park.
But essentially...
That's in the last 10 years,
but essentially,
or 20 years.
Three houses.
Four, really, but yeah, if you count the disastrous decision to move back to Shawnee, yeah.
But that was a very short-lived...
That was a three-month...
So essentially three houses.
Yeah.
I have had three. Our very first home in Topeka, our second home in Prairie Village, and the home that I'm in now, and we'll never leave it. And so when I saw the
now
number
that,
six,
now,
I thought...
But you say that, and...
Six?
But Dana, you say that, and I distinctly... I hope I'm not violating a trust here with you. I distinctly remember you talking to me off the air one day 2 years ago about maybe wanting to buy another house, a move.
Not happening.
But 2 years ago, you thought about
right.
it.
And now we have one in college and 96 more behind them on the way. So, like, we're not moving.
Realtor here on the text line, 3794. Most people move every 7 to 10 years.
Okay. There has to be a reason they came up with the number of 6 grants.
And I'll be honest, I just listed out, and granted, two of those homes in those 5 moves were the same house, the one in Roland Park, where I've been primarily for the last 10 years. full disclosure here, Kelly and I are thinking about getting a house together next year. That would be a 6th move.
But then once you settle down, I don't foresee you would be moving again.
I would hope not, till we move to the Bahamas.
What do you think? What? Do you like this idea?
Here's what I think. Number one, the renovations that would be required can't be that expensive.
Oh.
Well, you're thinking in your dollars. I'm talking about government dollars.
$90,000.
Sure, I'm
was
sure.
What he spent on the second home out of his own pocket to renovate it.
Okay, so the renovation, it is expensive when you think about it in your dollars, yeah. Okay? But when you're talking about the government... That's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction.
Okay.
I think we owe them more than we give them.
I agree with you there.
And if I left an arm and a leg in Iraq or Afghanistan, and I want to move six, I almost said a bad word. If I want to move 6 times when I get back over the course of the rest of my life, suck it.
Like, I'm going to do it, and you're going to pay to retrofit it.
They gave us everything. The least we could do is retrofit their house.
Quoting here from the soldier, Kules, he says, quote, one of the unfortunate realities that I have to face is that right now I'm pretty active, and I get around. He can walk all day on his prosthetic leg, and his left arm is strong enough to use a wheelchair without assistance. But he says, quote, I know that is not always going to be the case. As he and other amputees from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars age and weaken, their housing needs will change. He knows that as the years pass and he becomes less mobile, quote, if we want to get into another place to be where our kids end up, be closer to them, those modifications, again, would be on me. There are similar bills working their way through in Florida, Tennessee, and California. Some Democrats, some Republicans. It is definitely a bipartisan
Good.
Effort.
Good, it should be. It should be. I don't think this is too hard to figure out. I'd be willing to go this far, and I know there are certain benefits that the military gives to people who are injured in combat. I mean, God knows that when my dad retired in 89, he had to go through what was called an exit review. And that's a medical, I don't know if that's the exact term, but they evaluate him physically.
Sure.
And, you know, for those who don't know, and I can't wait for all the jokes, my dad was shot 6 times. He was a disabled American veteran, a DAV. When my dad went through, he was given a 60, I believe it was a 60% disability. My dad never ran after the age of 24. He never ran again. And when he would do his physicals in the military, you know, you have to run a certain distance.
On a treadmill or something?
He had to ride a bike. That's how he passed his physicals. Because he couldn't run anymore. He had been shot so many times in the legs. And so I think my dad was given like a 60% disability when he retired. If you are missing a right arm and a left leg, like the person in question in the story, I would argue that's a 100% disability. And I think this country needs to refocus. It really does. Both sides need to refocus the way that we treat these young men and women when they come back. And that man, I would argue, unless he wants to, should never have to work another day in his life.
The Specially Adaptive Housing Program was established by Congress in, you want to guess what year?
Say it again. What was the question?
The housing program that allows for this was established by Congress in
1945.
1948, to assist wounded veterans from World War II. In the last 2 decades, it has seen a sharp rise in applicants as advanced field medicine has allowed service members who previously would have died on the battlefield to survive their injuries.
Mm-hmm. 576-7798. And it seems such a waste of time. If that's what it's all about, Mama, if that's moving up, then I'm moving out. Let's go to Josh and Lee's son. Josh, hello, my friend.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
Yes, I just want to quickly say, you know, if the average cost is $60,000 per house but can be upwards of $90,000, I mean, when the United States fires one Tomahawk cruise missile at a target somewhere in the Middle East, you're basically throwing out $1.5 million per missile. So if you do the math, if we didn't shoot one Tomahawk cruise missile, we could pay for 17 veterans at a cost of $90,000. But if you went with the average, one Tomahawk cruise missile would be the equivalent of taking care of 26 of our veterans.
Hey,
and,
Josh.
And I think it's well worth the cost. And I'll leave with this. The big question I would have, what would the cost be if we didn't renovate their home and they were somehow, God forbid, they were injured themselves? You know what I mean?
Sure. It's a good point.
Here's one, not to get political, and I'm sure it would be the same for Obama when he went to Hawaii or wherever. Every trip that President Trump takes to Mar-a-Lago costs the American taxpayer roughly $1 million a day. I just looked it up.
Oh, yeah. And the crazy part is, I just priced it out at a cruise missile, basically a flying bomb. When you do an F-22, a brand new F-22 costs the government $150 million per unit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's 2,600 veterans right there. So, I mean, I'm for it. I think it's great to just finally see our congressmen work in a bipartisan manner to take care of the people that so fought for us. So, thanks.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thank you for the call, Josh. I would say 80% on the text line are for this. The only people that are saying, okay, but what about this, what about this, are questioning the number of moves. And that was, when I first read the article, I thought 6 houses, who is retrofitting 6 houses? But I suppose if you are injured at age 19 or 20, it is absolutely possible you could move that many times. I'm just going to read one text that kind of disagrees with this. Not sure I agree. Retrofitting their current home is what the grant is supposed to cover. But when they move, finding a house that is accessible or suitable for them is basically just a part of the cost of purchasing that new home.
Well, what if they want to move? Or do we say to them, hey, thanks for your service.
Yeah, here's your house. Stay here.
thanks for losing an arm and a leg, literally an arm and a leg in Iraq.
Yeah.
But this house that you just bought, I hope you don't quit your job.
Well,
I hope you don't get transferred.
You're also not factoring in, Scott, the divorce scenario.
Yeah.
Where for whatever reason, a husband and wife split up, and now someone is moving out.
And God forbid, they're allowed to move. I have moved 5 times in the last 20 years.
I still find it hard to believe that the average is 11.
Okay.
Listen to this because it's just stupid and interesting. 62% of movers in 2017 remained in the same county. 62%. They're just house hopping.
I've lived in Johnson County for the last 26 years.
34% of movers relocated to a different county. That includes same state and different state moves. And 4% of the moving population came from abroad. The top 10 states Americans are leaving. You want to guess? Top 10.
I don't know.
When Americans move out of state, where are they moving from?
Where are they moving from?
They're getting out.
New York and California.
New York is on the list. California is not. Kansas is number 8.
Really?
Yes. Number 1, Illinois.
Really? Chicago?
Says Illinois. Illinois, Alaska, New Jersey, New York, West Virginia, North Dakota, Connecticut, Kansas, Pennsylvania, and Maryland.
I'll be darned. Alaska?
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's cold.
It's dark.
It is dark, but it's also very sunny in the summer.
No.
Yes, it is.
I mean, no, I couldn't handle it.
Oh. All right, don't forget, every Friday at 5 o'clock, we do Festivus Friday. It is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Coming up after the 5:30 news, Dana Food Desert Wright is going to defend this story. We have had this conversation for years. Dana was insisting they needed a grocery store in the inner city. They got one, 31st and Prospect. It now needs a gigantic subsidy from the city government, which owns it. Why? If people are shopping, I mean, they needed a...
You are not going to gloat about this. We will talk about it when we come back.
If you don't
you
think I
have been sitting there
just
waiting to talk about this all day. When are we going to go to the grocery store story?
What have I been
when
saying?
When are we going to go to the grocery store story?
You should have been gone. Knowing how I made you feel. And I should have been gone. After all your world of steel. Oh, I must have been a dreamer.
You never know what becomes of her in the video. 1984 was the year. Steve Perry was his name.
When are we going to do the grocery store story?
We're going to do it right now.
What did that sound like again?
When are we going to do the grocery store story?
That's what she says I sound like. Uh-huh. I've been waiting for this one all afternoon. You know, let me give the backstory here real quick, if I may. For years, Dana, even when she was at Channel 5, would often do stories about the, quote, food desert that exists in the inner city of Kansas City, Missouri. And from time to time, we've gone on the air and we've talked about the food desert that existed in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. And Dana would say, well, you know, part of the problem is, you know, they have nowhere to go and to get good, wholesome food. And that's why a lot of people in the inner city shop at these old gas stations, or they go into McDonald's and, you know, get a happy meal for their kids for dinner.
Cheap and easy.
Cheap and easy. That's right. Well, lo and behold, the city of Kansas City, Missouri, the city of Kansas City, Missouri, opened up a grocery store, a Sunfresh, at 31st and Prospect. You can't get more inner city than 31st and Prospect. This would apparently alleviate the food desert that existed in the inner city, correct?
I think it would eliminate the food desert. I think it goes a long way to help it.
I said alleviate. Okay. Let me read you this story from Fox 4 so you know it's true. After a year in operation, Kansas City Council members learned today that the grocery store that the city created at 31st and Prospect is not making enough money to pay its bills. The Finance Committee unanimously approved a $345,000 subsidy for the Sunfresh grocery store in the Linwood Shopping Center. Nearly $15 million of both public and private money has already been invested into revitalizing the shopping center. And the city doesn't want the grocery store to start scaling back what it offers because sales have not met expectations. The neighborhood and housing services director says security at the store has become a much bigger expense than anticipated. Quoting here from John Wood, the Kansas City director of neighborhood and housing, "We've been talking to the police department and encouraging them to make more stops up there and to set in the parking lot occasionally as opposed to maybe other places. We are working with a different security firm. They have been much more visible." John Wood, also is discussing setting up an urban ambassador program at the shopping center. It would be so... Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Where do you want to begin?
Where do you want to begin, Dana? You were, for a long time, you would have to admit, you have been an advocate for bringing a grocery store into the inner city. You have done stories, countless stories, about the so-called food desert that existed in the inner city of Kansas City. Lo and behold, they open a Sunfresh at 31st and Prospect. Its sales are so bad that the city is coughing up $345,000 in taxpayer money to keep it afloat.
Not true. I will take exception to your leap that the sales are, quote, so bad. That's not what's happening here. You want to make it about that. It's not what this is about. You know as well as I do that gas stations and grocery stores operate on razor thin margins.
Correct.
Across the country. That's just how it is. If you're in the grocery store business, they are razor thin margins. I looked it up. Generally, profit margins are between 1% and 3%. Depending on the item, it is not unusual for a grocery store to make just a few cents per item. Okay? So already, this is an industry that operates across the country on a very, very slim profit margin. What has happened is they did not allocate enough for the security costs that are needed. And so that's taking a huge bite out of what would have been profit. You're not going to change the profit margin in a grocery store. It's next to nothing. You have to control your expenses, and they're having trouble controlling their expenses. That's what this is about. It's not that people aren't shopping there.
Because of the behavior
Of people in the neighborhood. Of a few.
I understand that, and that's a fair point. But you wondered why people won't open up a grocery store in the inner city. I give you Exhibit A. Businesses will go where there is a profit. And you can't force a business to open with the expectation that they're going to lose money. The inner city, I know it's not popular to say this, but I'll say it. The inner city is a dangerous place to do business. It just is.
I don't like the word dangerous. You could use the word risky. If you are an entrepreneur and you are looking to open a grocery store where you already understand that your profit margin is very, very small, almost smaller than any other industry. I'll have to look it up. I'll look up what the gas station profit margin is because that's small too. On gas, it's next to nothing.
With the gas stations, they break even roughly on the gas. They make their money on you coming in and buying cigarettes or gum or a soda or whatever.
So the only thing I took exception is you saying that people aren't going there. The people are going there.
Okay, fine.
There's just no wiggle room when the profit margin is that low to have these enormous expenses for things like security that they ended up saying, look, we need more security
but
here.
But does this not explain why for years there has been a, quote, food desert in the inner city?
I think it's one of the reasons.
Because people who run Price Chopper, the people who run Sunfresh or Hy-Vee or Hen House or whatever grocery store you want to say, have looked, probably have looked at it and said, well, it's not worth the risk. That's why there is a food desert in the inner city of Kansas City. A food desert that has been partially alleviated, but now comes with a price tag to the taxpayers of Kansas City of $345,000. Because it's not, and I use this in air
but
quotes,
but if you have the
safe.
Security, but here's the deal, Scott. If you have the security, which you know as well as I do, security is an interesting thing. The perception of security is almost as powerful as security. You know, if you have a police officer sitting out front, that is a secure, safe perception, right? So you pull up to a business, there's an officer right there in the doorway, you feel safe. They have to pay for the perception of security.
Fine.
And it's costing much more to do that than they anticipated. It's my guess.
Somebody on the text line has an interesting point. What about those of us who live in small towns? We live in food deserts too. Somebody says, I live in Lacine. For us to get groceries, we have to travel 25 miles. You know, I have friends.
There are very few mom and pop grocery type stores left.
I have friends that lived in King City. When they, you know, which is a town of about 1,000 people, the only place where you could get groceries in King City, Missouri, is the Casey's General Store. If you wanted groceries.
Right.
Okay.
If you want a gallon of milk.
Or you know, a celery or a head of lettuce, you had to drive to St. Joseph, which was 30 miles away.
That's true.
It's not because people were discriminating against people in the inner city any more than they discriminate against all the white people that live in small rural communities. Grocery stores are in the business of making business. And if they don't think they can make a profit, they're not going to set up shop. If I'm the guy who runs Hy-Vee, okay, and we think there might be a market in the Kansas City metro for another store. All right, I'm looking out in Shawnee, okay? What do we got out there? We got Constantino's Price Chopper. You know, there's a bunch of grocery stores along Shawnee. Okay, no, too many. Let's look up in Liberty, okay? Maybe we could do one up in Liberty. What about the inner city of Kansas City, Missouri? Well, keep in mind, our profit margin is about 2%. We would have to spend a ton of money on security. What I'm saying is, and I'll just be blunt, there is, and I don't believe it is a majority of people by far. It is a small element, but a small element of people in the inner city is ruining the party for everybody else because they cannot behave themselves. And that's a fact. That's a fact that bears itself out in this story. When you are losing money because you can't afford the security of a grocery store.
And lighting and landscaping and cleanup and all of the things that need to be done.
I would bet people
to make
don't
a
care
business
about the
tidy.
I bet they don't care about the landscaping.
But you have to project an image. Any business owner will tell you this, an inviting image. And that costs money, Scott. It does.
And when you walk in, and Shane, you know what? I was about to steal your point. I'm going to let you make it when we get back. 576-7798.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it.
Get to the phones. Michael in Greenwood. Hello, Michael.
On.
Hey,
hi.
What's up, man?
Hey, you know, you're talking about, was that Sunfresh in the inner city?
Yes.
They've got grocery stores in the inner city that's been around for years. You got Wild Woody's, which is Happy Foods on 31st Street. You got Aldi's over by Paseo by over close to 8th Street. I mean, I'd go by a lot of different grocery stores, been around for years.
And are these large, full-scale grocery stores, Michael, or just like a little place where you can pop in and get lottery tickets and milk?
No, you go in there. No, it's a grocery store. You got to go check it out.
What's it called?
Wild Woody's. It's called Wild Woody's Happy Foods. It's on 31st Street. I go there sometimes if I'm working in the area, and they have smoked bacon, smoked meats there. I mean, it's always busy.
Okay.
So I don't know. Something's fishy about the Sunfresh Foods. I don't know.
Well, I feel like, and I don't know what city you live in, Michael, we have a ton of grocery stores in other parts of the city, and that just simply is not true in a certain area of Kansas City, Missouri. It's just not.
Which area are you talking about?
Well, if you look at, and I don't know how many grocery stores there are per square mile in, you know, Lee's Summit or Overland Park or any of the suburbs, the number is higher than it is in the inner city. It just is.
Well, if you look at the inner city, too, it's pretty congested, too. So there's really not a whole lot of real estate for them to do unless they run somebody out or they do something with the lots where all them condemned homes are at.
Okay.
I'm looking up Wild Woody's, so give me a minute here. Let me ask you this. What is your, no pun intended, beef?
I don't have a beef. I just think I have a better explanation for the expenses that are involved in putting that particular store at 31st and Prospect.
Okay, but if you're going to pay for the security, you're going to have to raise the prices on the food in the store, which in a economically depressed part of town is going to discourage people from shopping there in the first place. I mean, there is not a conspiracy, and I'm not arguing that you think there is. There is not a conspiracy among the grocery store giants of Kansas City to not put a grocery store in the inner city. There have been talks for years about trying to get one in there, and the city basically forced one in there last year at 31st and Prospect. The problem is, I think we're putting a Band-Aid on a bigger bleed. The problem is...
It is a multifaceted problem. Yes. You just can't say it's this one thing or it's other thing. And I looked up Wild Woody's, and you know my first result?
Probably Pornhub.com?
No. Man shot outside.
Oh.
In Kansas City, dies from his injuries. That was in March.
Yeah. That's a problem. You don't want to shop at a grocery store where people are being shot. And we mentioned the Sunfresh at 31st and Prospect. I got no beef with Sunfresh. Okay? None. I like Sunfresh. But everybody's writing in. I went to the one at 31st and Prospect. I was scared walking from my car to the front door.
And they need more security. Although I know we have a caller that was going to argue more security makes you feel less safe because you see the security and you wonder what's going on.
Yeah, it creates a bad image. When you walk into a store and there is a security guard at the front door, automatically you think, oh, what the hell? And that's a fact. You think there's a problem here. We got to run. Sam Stevie's our producer. Dana Ryan, I'm Scott Parks. Have a great night. Be safe. And I'm gloating. Be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.